In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you once again for joining me today. As you can hear, I've still got this bit of a cold thing going on. I actually took myself off to the doctor for the first time today, and she's put me on antibiotics, so hopefully I'll get the voice back by next week. Now, it's been 18 months since my wonderful co-host Gary Menzies died so suddenly and tragically. And if you were a long-time listener of the program, and I know there's quite a few of you out there, I would ask you to offer up some prayers for Gary's soul, and even perhaps to have a mass said for him. I'm sure he'd appreciate it, but I'm pretty sure he's actually reached heaven. He was such a holy, holy man, and devoted to the rosary, devoted to Fatima, and he certainly believed in the promises of the rosary, and had just been to confession the night before he died. I mean, how beautiful is that? Now, if you tuned in last week, I apologise that I had to roll over a program from the previous month, but of course that wasn't a hardship when you had Father Linus Clovis giving us a wonderful talk, Andre Fontane, and Father is going to join us again next week, so please make sure that you tune in and listen. I've left the apparition of Our Lady up to Father, so it could be a lady of good success in Quito, Ecuador, in the 1600s, early 1600s, or it may even be La Salette in the mid-1800s. So either of those two, I said to Father, the choice is all yours. So what we're going to talk about today, which is still very, very topical, and Bill English and his wife, Dr. Mary English, spoke at the euthanasia subcommittee yesterday, and they had some very, very good arguments against legalising assisted suicide. Dr. Mary certainly spoke about the mixed message that it would send to the young people, particularly to say that it's fine for the sick and the elderly to commit suicide, because let's face it, let's not dress it up in fancy words, that's actually what it is. And then you're throwing your hands up in the air and lamenting our disgraceful youth suicide statistics, which are the highest in the world, and we should certainly hang our head in shame over that one. And then we had Letitia, I'm not quite sure what her husband's name is, the lady that really started all of this. She had a terminal illness, and he said that he felt it should only be made available to people who were terminally ill and had 6 months or less to live. But of course, you know that that is a very slippery slope. That's what many of these legislations around the world started with, and then it was opened a bit wider and a bit wider and a bit wider. Now, Bill English spoke about how there is more safeguards around buying a house and buying a car than there is with this bill. It is just so wide open to abuse. And he made the very interesting point that in the last 15 years, there has not been one test case to come before the court. So how is that? Where are the safeguards? And he was talking about when people were killed without their permission, because this is happening. We have the most horrific examples of elderly people who have been held down by their family protesting. You know, they might have said at one point, yes, they wanted this, but then as the time era, they changed their mind, as so many of them do. But the family held them down, and the doctor or whoever administered the lethal drug. I mean, how appalling is that, to think that the mother who birthed these children and they turned around and did that to her? And certainly don't think that's an isolated occurrence. I mean, that might be a bit dramatic, but certainly there are cases you know, all over how, you know, basically the elderly, the sick, they're not really dying fast enough. I was listening to Talkback Radio about 6 months ago on the afternoon program, and Kerry McIver was interviewing a doctor, a young female doctor, and she, Kerry asked the doctor, has anyone of your patients ever asked you for euthanasia? And the doctor said, well, no, none of her patients had, but she said some of the family had. And basically, because the person who was dying wasn't dying fast enough, because the people, they wanted to just get it over with and get on and back to their lives. And I've actually been a witness to that very, very thing. When somebody I know was dying, he was very elderly, and someone had come over from another country and to be with their parent at this time. But I was actually in the room and heard this person say, come on, you know, I've got to go back to wherever, and I've got to go back on Thursday. And so this was about Saturday. I mean, what a horrible thing to say. So here's the parent thinking, I'm not dying fast enough. And as it turned out, the parent did die a bit after that, but certainly within that time frame, and the child was able to attend the funeral. Yeah, I just think there's some dispassionate, hard-nosed arguments in this debate. And as I said, euthanasia, that's a nice pretty name. It's actually assisted suicide, and it's something that we do not want in this country. Now, a couple of years ago, Gary and I actually interviewed a doctor who was at the forefront of this and very, very learned man, so Dr. David Richmond. So we're going to hear some of his argument now. Actually, we're going to have a bit of a change. For some reason, the computer in the studio will not read the disc, so we're going to actually have a talk by Father Clovis, which I think will be just as good.
Good evening, everyone. Brothers, brothers and sisters. I think we should begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant by the same Holy Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady, Queen of the Family, pray for us. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Thomas More,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I have to begin with an apology. I arrived in New Zealand yesterday from London, and for some reason my head is going around like this. Hopefully my words do not go around like this. So I'm a little jet-lagged. However, one of the things that I try constantly to remember is that I have to be a vehicle of the Lord. As all of us, we have to remember that it is not our work that we are engaged in, but rather the work of Christ, which is a work of salvation, to call God's scattered people together. And the talk I've been given to address is the family, beacons of light in an age. I don't think any one of us would deny that we are living in an age of darkness. And it seems the darkness is getting darker and darker. And when we read St. John's Gospel, the prologue, we hear that the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, it could not grasp it, it could not extinguish it. And it is this light that we need in this present age in which we live. And the light is in each and every one of us by baptism. And necessarily, it must be in everything that we do. The family is, in fact, the light that is shining at this present time, even though it seems that the light of the family is being diminished. But let's start off. What is light? Or if we start the other end, what is darkness? Let's start with what the darkness. What is darkness? It is nothing, exactly. Darkness is nothing. But light is everything. And light does two things. First of all, it reveals itself. And then it reveals everything it strikes. So the light will initially reveal shape. You think of dusk or dawn as the sun rises at dawn, it reveals shape, and then as it gets brighter, it reveals color, and of course we see the full object. And this is exactly what the family has to do. It has to reveal itself first and foremost, and then it will reveal all the other things that it touches. So where do we begin? Well, what do we want out of life? As just you, what do we want out of life? And I think the answer comes from Scripture. Three things. We want peace. We want land. And we want a long life. Isn't that what God promised the Israelites when they were going into the Promised Land? They would have peace from their enemies. And when we talk about peace, we're talking about the way we relate to other people. Okay, the way we relate to our families, the way we relate to our neighbors, the community in general. That is peace. We want land, or in other words, how we relate to things, our possessions. Okay, so in the land, it's everything that we possess. And in long life, how we relate to ourselves. We don't want to be diminished. These things are good and they are necessary for our own being. But what do we have at present? The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 28... verse 8 says, if I can find verse 8, here it is. Okay, it says, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thy ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before you of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms. War and evil and pestilence. This is the prophet Jeremiah. War, evil, and pestilence. Well, this is exactly what we experience in this time. It's the contrary of the three things of God. And we're talking about just the natural order, the world in which we live as human beings, regardless of faith. So instead of peace, we have war. Instead of the land, the possessions, we have the evils of famine, and instead of long life, we have pestilence, plague. And how does that translate? In the case of war, what about our inner cities? How safe are they? What about the people we meet? Have you noticed how angry people are these days? Road rage, the slightest provocation, you see a knife or a gun being drawn. Why are people angry? Terrorism. If you've traveled from London to Auckland, as I did, I went through security four times. You have to go through in London, and when you reach Dubai, you come out of the plane, and just in transit, you go through security again, and then we landed in Melbourne, and come off the plane, and go through security again, and you think, well, why? I only just came off the plane. Where would I have been armed? But nonetheless, this is what we are facing, you know. So terrorism, and it's becoming more and more intense. Of course, we have daily a warfare against the unborn, you know, abortion by the millions. You know, in England alone, 200,000 every year. And which, in fact, is greater than the population of my country, St. Lucia. So every day, the entire population of St. Lucia is wiped out. And that's just in London, in England. And then, of course, euthanasia, which is on the doorstep. You know, and like abortion, it will begin with small numbers. Eventually, we will see tens of thousands in many countries being killed by euthanasia. So war is at hand in many forms. And then famine. The Lord promised us a land, possessions, no things. But on the contrary, we have famine, which is spiritual hunger that Mother Teresa spoke about. You know, and that's why people are angry, because they're hungry. There's a spiritual hunger. They feel a need for something more than what is being offered. There's also greed, the desire for more and more things, just to possess things, which is the other name for that is covetousness. And the more we depend on things, the less we'll depend on God. And then there's another kind of famine going on, the famine of food, the food that no longer nourishes us. And the water, which is contaminated. There's a growing concern about the chemicals in the water, the hormones to be exact, in the water, which we know, there's enough scientific evidence, we know that the contaminated waters are resulting in fish being deformed and malformed, and birds, so much so that the male fish and birds are showing feminine traits and they are infertile. And we know that we're drinking the same water, and are we surprised there's an increase in number of children, boys in particular, who are showing feminine characteristics? Sure, it's not a kind of famine. We have lost possession of the good soil, the good land that the Lord had promised us. And then the long life is being shortened because we're struck by plagues, pestilence, sickness kinds, cancers. And then there's the mental plagues, which we can call perversions, which we're seeing in increasing numbers and significance. And this manifests itself also in corruption, especially the corruption of the young, which, again, is a spiritual sickness. So this is the darkness that we're facing. And we need, of course, the light. Where are we going? In the Gospel, our Lord, as St. Luke relates in Luke 21.
Okay, we're going to stop there because it's actually just after 3 o'clock, time for Divine Mercy. All right, this is a prayer, wonderful prayer, particularly if somebody is dying and you are with them. Wonderful prayer to see them out from this world to the next. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organisation in Auckland, Family Life International. You can go online and look up their number. And they have a 24-hour counselling service. So if you've got any issues or problems relating to being pregnant, particularly unexpectedly, and even just after you've had the baby, if you have some issues there or you have needs for the baby, for example, clothes or, you know, all sorts of things. It's a fabulous organisation. And they're having a conference very soon, first weekend of October. So make sure you put that on your calendar. We've got a great lineup. Cardinal Burke is coming, and we have Gianna Moller's daughter, Dr. Gianna Moller, is coming too. So make sure that you come along to that. Okay, we're going to end the program now, but tune in next week and you will hear another interview with Father Clover. The